Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And first of all, congratulations, Manchester City fans. We have to say congratulations, Man City. The O'Reilly final.
He's a bit good, isn't he?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's
pretty
a bit good.
And did you see him in his post-match interviews with Sky? Very humble, very down to earth. Even they were suggesting it's the O'Reilly final. Well, no, it's on part of the team. I want to thank everyone, you know, thank lots of people for helping us all collectively get to. I'm like, I'm here for it. What a grounded young man. God, that made me sound old, didn't it?
You've said a few things this weekend where I've said, God, you are so old.
A couple.
You are so old.
Tweak the cameras a little bit. Okay. That's better. Yes, I have said a couple of things that's made me sound.
And I thought, blimey, O'Reilly, I'm married to an old age pensioner.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I'm afraid, was another one.
But he was great, wasn't he? At Manchester City, to be honest, I know you were travelling back from Spurs at the time, but you missed nothing in the first half. Let me tell you, nothing. It was a dreadful game of football. And even in the first 10 minutes, it was still pretty dreadful. I think both City and Arsenal fans would agree with that. But I don't know. I think Kepa.
They just know how to win games, don't they, Man City? They just.
Well, they know how to win games, and Kepa knows how to lose League Cup finals. I mean, he had a bit of a brain fart not long before the goal, where he kind of came out and clattered Doku and got a yellow, and it could have been worse and could have conceded a goal.
Oh, really?
And from that moment, I was like, this guy's got a bit of previous, isn't he? About having moments in cup finals.
How do you feel about?
I don't know, you know.
The second, because today it was the final of the seconds, wasn't it? In terms of the goalkeepers, have got them there, Kepa and Trafford. They got them to the final. So both Pep and Arteta said, "Well, you know, you've got us here. You'll play." I don't know how I feel about that. Like, in some ways, I think yes, right, rightly so. You've got them to the final. You've played all the games. You've done all the hard work.
Yeah.
But there's also a little bit of me that goes, it's a final. It's an opportunity to win a trophy that you've not had for a long time. And you've got one of the world's best goalkeepers in your team. So to leave him on the... Because you wouldn't do that with the outfield players, would you? You'd play your best outfield players.
Well, I think it totally depends. That whole theory hangs on whether you're an Arsenal fan or a City fan. Because if you're a City fan, you're like, yeah, you definitely stick with James Trafford. And in the first half, he made a treble save on about 20 minutes, which, you know, at that moment in the game could have been, you know, Arsenal go 1-0 up. It's a totally different game potentially. So very, very important three saves in a row within the space of about 5-6 seconds.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's not entirely down to Kepa, but Kepa's largely at fault for the first Man City goal. So if you're an Arsenal fan, and I've seen it on social media already, yeah, why are we not playing Raya? Why are we not playing Raya? If you're a City fan, yeah, of course we stick with Trafford, of course.
Yeah,
so it just depends how the game goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting narrative, isn't it? Because, you know, when I always find this goalkeeper thing really fascinating, because you get to the final and outfield, you play your best team, right? Everyone picks their best player. They pick their best players, and that's the... Are you still faffing around? You pick your best players.
I feel like I'm quite central, but you're not. So I'm just going to move the camera a little bit. There you go. That'll do.
You pick your best players, and that's that. Whereas it does always feel like the goalkeeper slot. If you haven't played your first choice goalie all the way to the final, it does always feel like you play your second best goalkeeper in the final. And that, to me, just is a little bit odd.
Yeah.
But that's...
But listen, well done to Man City. Pep wins the first trophy of the season. Still plenty to play for from an Arsenal perspective. I'm sure they're going to be lifting something over the next few weeks and months, no doubt about it. That's it. That's all we've got time for on FPL Family tonight, because I don't want to talk about anything else. Well done, Man City, but let's bugger off. Because, to be honest with you, what a dreadful performance from Liverpool, a dreadful performance from Spurs, and I'll tell you what, FPL's a bit meh and all. It's a bit meh. I know you've done okay this week. You've done okay.
I feel like I survived this week. I don't feel like I can say I've done okay.
I think there'll be a few FPL managers feeling that way. In the chat, let us know if you feel like you've survived this. I feel like I've been trying to survive for a few weeks. And as you know, I've done quite well over those few weeks. But coming to this week thinking this really is survival week.
Yeah.
And there's a few things that just... I think and not like me to reel out I was unlucky, but... Because I'll tell you if I've just had a crap week or a bad week. But I genuinely do feel a bit unlucky this week. And I'll talk about that as we go on.
I think for me, I just... FPL-wise, it was one of those weeks where I had a couple of bullets that I had to dodge. And I knew that if I didn't dodge them, it was going to be a tough week.
Yeah.
Harry Wilson his name was on one of those bullets. And yeah, right up until the end, we were actually out at the time, weren't we? We were picking up Max from a birthday party. And I said to you, I feel like I'm dodging bullets left, right and centre at the minute. And then Harry Wilson, Burnley were winning. Harry Wilson got a goal. And I was like, I feel like this is still okay as long as he doesn't get anything
else. Just one goal is probably okay, yeah.
Probably live with this. And then there was another one, but I can't think who that was off the top of my head now that everyone was going.
Gordon?
Oh, Anthony Gordon today. Yeah, as I got to Spurs today, I'll talk about that later, but having got through the bus and everything else and the crowds and got up into the terrace from the South Stand, I looked at the screen and I was like, oh, goodness, that says 1-0 Newcastle. I bet you Anthony Gordon's had something to do with it. And I obviously got inside and was like, oh, it wasn't Anthony Gordon goal. That's annoying. You can't get anything else. If you just get one, it's probably okay.
Yeah.
But those were the kind of major bullets that I felt like I'd needed to dodge. And I sort of feel like I got away with it-ish. It's a very small green. But nonetheless, it's a green. And
yeah,
I feel like going into the next few weeks, to have survived the blank with a green is probably a good place to be.
Yeah, good. All right, very good. We've had a member chat from Nigel the Crab. Simon, oh, very Si. Nice to see you, mate. Long time no see.
Welcome
hope you're
back.
Well. Hope you're well. 4 years here, he says. I mean, listen, Si is one of those. He's been supporting us for a long time. 4 years, but longer than 4 years. Right? Much longer than 4 years. Talk about four life-changing years. Good to see everyone after my time away. I hope you're all keeping well. And he later on goes on to say he feels a bit out of the FPL loop. Well, mate, listen, if you are looking to get back into the FPL loop, welcome in. Welcome into the loop. It's a funny old loop this week, to be honest with you. It's a funny old loop, but welcome
it
back into the community.
It seems actually weirdly appropriate that Si, the causer of chaos in FPL, the minus points. Do you know, like, he's the one that comes in and goes, I've taken a minus 855 or whatever it is this week. It feels quite appropriate for Si to arrive back this week when it was a bit chaotic and everyone was a bit like, oh,
very
what am I
chaotic.
Doing? So welcome back, Si. It's nice to have you back.
Very chaotic. And as you guys can see, that's my first red arrow for about 7 weeks. I've had a nice...
It's a little one.
It's a little one, yeah. It's down from about 125 to about 138 for those that are listening on the podcast. So it's about sort of 9-10% red arrow. It's a small one. Given what happened this week, and we'll talk about it as we go through the games, given what happened to my team, given the transfers that I made, I will take it. It's okay. I'll tell you what, if you'd have said to me 6 or 7 game weeks ago, you'll be going into wildcard game week 32, and I am still considering game week 32 wildcard. We'll talk more about that as we go on. You could be going into wildcard game week 32 with a rank of 138. I'll take it.
Are you going to talk about
the
transfer that I told you to make?
What did you tell me to do?
When do you remember that conversation we were having on Friday afternoon?
Well, yeah. So
because I was right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was kind of in defensive mode. As you guys know, I have been playing FPL very conservatively over the last few weeks, very conservatively. And this week, even more so, right? Even more so. Well, to a degree, because one of my transfers in was Wilson this week. Very much a shield pick.
Yeah.
Very much. And I unashamedly will say that that's not me going, oh, you know, I just fancied him to do really well. No. This is high ownership. He can hurt at home to Burnley, and he would have done.
And
so I got him, right? Yeah. So just a shield pick. Given that I'm going into probably a wild card in 32, and then I can decide whether I want him or not. And then my other move was a defender move, because there was a little bit of uncertainty, well, more than a little bit of uncertainty about whether Tarkowski was going to play this week. So in my head, I thought, well, I've got Gabriel, I've got Gaye, and I've got Tarkowski, so I probably need to do something about...
You need to go a defender, right?
Gaye, probably, and just chance it maybe that Tarkowski's going to play. So I did transfer out Gaye. My question to you was, do I go for Chow or do I go for Anderson? Chow or Anderson? I was so locked on those two, Chow or Anderson. So I come up to you and I was just like, Sam, I've been going around in my head all day. I just can't decide. Literally, I'm down to these two. I've done all of the analysis. I'm down
the
to these two.
The due diligence has been done.
Chow or Anderson? If you had to pick just one, would you go Chow or Anderson? And you went, I'd go Coyote. I was like, oh my God, bloody Coyote. I need one of those two. So I had bloody Coyote in there as well. And actually, as it happens, Coyote is the pick.
It
was the pick out of the three.
I didn't trust either of the other. I didn't think Chow was going to get benched, by the way. But I didn't think either of them were going to keep clean sheets. And I was like, Brentford even if they don't keep a clean sheet, Kaido's so attacking with those long throws. I just have a feeling about him.
Yeah.
And so when he kept a clean sheet, we were watching that game and I thought, I'm not going to say I told you so about Kaido. I'm going to let it be, because obviously you still had your player to play today. And
I went with Chow in the end.
Yeah. And I was thinking, well, maybe it might be okay. And then I actually, when I got into the Spurs stadium today, I looked at my phone to see who it was that had scored. When I saw it was Anthony Gordon, by that point, the sub with Chow had worked, had happened.
Yeah.
But I didn't, because I was, there was so much going on at Spurs today that I didn't really look at it too much. I just saw that Chow had, I thought, gone off on 54. And I thought,
oh no.
Oh, he's going to be furious with a 54th minute sub. It was only when I got home here and you went, No, he didn't start. And I thought, you're even more fuming because you had Tarko on your bench. You were probably just thinking, stay there.
You don't. You only know half the Chow story, though. You've only got half the story.
Well, what else happened to him?
Perfectly fine that you've only got half the story because you weren't here to watch it. You were busy supporting your own team. So and you guys know this, right? So I'm only, this is just for your benefit. This
tell me the story.
So first of all, Chow benched. Byrne and Botman played, right?
Okay.
So then Botman, on 58, goes off with a concussion sub.
Okay.
So absolutely the right thing to do, take him off. But it wasn't like a hamstring tear or anything like that. It was just like, you know, he kind of has to go off because of the head for the concussion. It's the right thing to do. So anyway, in my head, I'm just like, oh, okay. Because my first sub is Tarkowski. And I'm thinking, right, well, if Chow
doesn't come
on, how often do you change your centre back? You never do, really.
No.
So Chow's going to stay on the bench. I'm going to get my Tarko 6 points. Happy days. He's about 7% EO differential for me, Tarko. Nice. So I should have played him anyway. I didn't. So then Chow's coming on. I'm like, great. Brilliant. So Chow's coming on for a one-pointer. And I'm going to miss out on my Tarkowski 5. Brilliant. Great. Another thing gone wrong. This.
I'm glad I wasn't here.
Properly in like FPL mood.
Thinking,
like,
oh, I wish I got Coyote.
No, I just, she was right about Coyote, right? So anyway, so Chow comes on. They immediately concede.
Oh, no.
They immediately concede. But I'm just like, well, I actually don't care.
At least they've not kept, no one else has got a clean sheet.
Yeah, I'm just like, he was coming on for one and they conceded, so he'll just stay on one and all the others lose their clean sheet. So whatever. Anyway, a few minutes later, he scores.
What?
He scores from a corner. He scores. I'm up, aren't I? I'm up. I'm like, Chow, get in, lad, get in. And then it gets VAR'd off because bloody, I don't know, Ramsey or somebody's interfering with the goalkeeper. Now, I might be biased. I don't think... He probably is. He almost certainly is interfering with the goalkeeper. So the goal then gets chalked off. Then they concede another one.
Chow's
down to zero. I'm coming on. So I don't even get one from Chow. I'm getting zero.
No.
So anyway, Chow ends up on like zero. I'm just waiting for him to get booked. Right? And I'm just waiting
what,
for him to get booked.
What, another minus one in your team?
And he didn't in the end. So in the end, I ended up with the Chow zero pointer rather than the Tarkowski 6, which would have been the difference between me getting a green or a red. But as it is...
So would Coyote.
As it is, we take the small red and we move it on.
We didn't say hello to anyone other than Nigel because I interrupted you with the chat.
I know. I'm going to do it now. Richard Lohman is in. He says, is this a rant? Richard, you wait till we get to Liverpool, mate. You've heard nothing yet. You've heard Richard. Nothing yet. And I have to apologise for the slackers because after that Liverpool game, I was, as you know, fuming with a capital F.
I didn't get an apology.
Fuming with a capital F. And I went in the Slack and I just thought, well, I can do this either in the Slack or on X.
No, never do it on X.
I just thought it's a much safer space to do it on X. And do you know what? As I was typing, the Slackers are so much fun, by the way. So our Patreon community in Slack, love you guys, right? It's like, you know, it's on the Slack, it says like Sam is typing, Lee is typing. It was just like Lee is typing. And I'd obviously been typing for a little while. And it's like Aaron, I think, or George were just like, oh, ranting coming. Lee's typing's been up there for a while.
The best thing about that is that we were watching it and I was in the Slack chatting to them and you were opposite me because we watched the first half in the pub and the second half at home. But
coming so, half time, I was so like, I'm going to be in a pub.
So we're in the pub and I'm talking to the guys in the Slack. I've got Liverpool's on there and I'm looking at Lee and they're like, where is Lee? And I'm like, they don't really want him at the minute. He is furious. Furious he was.
There was a guy as well. We will say hello to people in a minute, I promise. But we can afford a little bit more jibber jabber because we've only got 8 games. There was a guy, did you notice? I think he was a Scandinavian guy. I'm going to say Swedish, but I'm not sure.
Yes,
but he's wearing a Liverpool shirt next to me. Mm-hmm. He'd obviously not watched much of Liverpool this season. Because he was such an optimistic guy. I don't know whether he was with... So he was with presumably his girlfriend.
I think they were on a relatively early date.
I think they were on quite an early date.
Oh, they were.
And I don't think they've been together very long.
No, I think because, it was like maybe third date territory, second date territory.
Maybe. Because he was, do you notice he was being like really like positive about Liverpool all the time?
Yeah, but she also didn't really have a clue what was going on.
She didn't have a clue.
No.
And he was just like, we would just misplace a pass and he'd be like, oh, shucks, that's a shame. So Boslow is normally really good. I'm on the table next door going, fucking hell, Don, what are you doing? Just play the easy ball. And he's looking over at me going, is he all right, this lad? I'm in the pub on my own, fuming
we
at Liverpool.
You went on your own?
Oh, my God. It's awful.
There were other people in the pub, but no one else was very upset because no. I don't think there were many Liverpool fans in the pub.
Just this other guy that was like really positive about everything. I'm like, shut up.
There's another couple that are just there. They're there on another date. Oh. We basically were surrounded by people on dates because there was another couple next to us who just decided it was the lunchtime to get drunk. They had no clue that football was on. They were just on a date drinking too much. Max and Evie were playing some sort of game. Neither of them wanted to watch Liverpool either.
Oh.
I'm chatting to the slackers thinking, let this end because Lee is fuming. And every time somebody, and I was trying to be really positive. That was good. You were like, wow, what game are you watching? I was like,
George, you'd have loved sitting next to that guy. You'd have loved him because he was all positive about Liverpool all the time. You know what George is like in the Slack?
Yeah, George
tries. Be positive. George, please, nothing positive to be about over the last couple of weeks. And you'd have loved sitting next to that guy. He was a positive Liverpool fan. I was not. Right, let's, Sam, 20 minutes of complete guff and nonsense. That is why the people are here. Let's say hello to a few people. George is in. Hello, George. Nice to see you, mate. Christopher Warburton is here. We've got FPL Zeitgall is in, talking about Jabba the Hutt, because I said jibber jabber. I don't know why I said jibber jabber. The football is sending us mad, Sam.
Now, you know what's good then,
don't you? The
football
is sending you and I insane.
So what could you not possibly want more in the world than some England football that's coming up over the next couple of weeks? Because I tell you what, if Liverpool have annoyed you, wait till you watch England.
Wow. Let's not even go there. Talking of England, oh God, so many tangents tonight. This is terrible, isn't it?
Waffle.
This is what people are...
Waffle.
I am the waffler. Waffle. I watched last week back. 100% me.
It's always been
100%
you.
100% me, guys.
You like to blame me. And he has this thing, guys. You can't see. He does it under the desk. He does this with his finger to me.
Get a move on.
He's like, get a move on. And he does it to me all the time. As soon as I start talking, he'll go, get a move on with his hand. It's not even me. I'll have said something for 10 seconds.
I was getting waffle emojis in the Slack and everything.
You deserve it. Because it's you. You tangent off on one. And then you say,
as he's in with the waffle bloody emojis.
Yes, because you're a waffler.
Be chat full of waffle
it's
emojis.
It's what Evie calls you as well, waffle.
Yeah, I do.
It's appropriate.
I obviously do waffle on it. People are saying it's Guff and Waffle. If you're Waffle, Lee, Sam's Guff.
Outrageous. That is outrageous. I think Lee is both the Guff and the Waffle.
We'll take that. B is in tonight.
She says,
hey, FPL family, Aston Villa saved our bacon. Oh, I'll tell you what, B. We'll get to that in a minute.
We've got
Wayne Lavelle is in. Evening, everyone. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, nice to see you, mate.
Who else have we got? We've got Christopher Warburton. I think I've mentioned, but I'll say it again. Christopher Warburton. Nice to see you.
Just like Christopher's name.
I think I do. Yeah, I think I do. Rosa Donna. Hello, everyone. Hello, Rosa. Nice to see you. Very nice to see you. We've got John Robert Knight. Joseph is in. Hey, Joseph. Nice to see you, as usual. All the patrons are in,
as usual. Do you reckon Joseph gets as angry as you watching Liverpool? He's a Liverpool fan as well.
No, he's a calm guy. No, you've had Zoom calls with Joseph, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a pretty calm guy.
Oh, he's very chill.
Maybe he switches. Maybe like watching Liverpool, he just turns.
Maybe he gets really angry.
I don't know.
Maybe he's like Bruce Banner.
He's like the Hulk, is he, when he watches Liverpool? What the fuck's going on tonight? Talk absolute shit, usual. Right, B says, I went Coyote. There you are.
See?
There you are. B went for the long throw merchant.
I also tried to... Who did I do a Zoom call with late? Liam. I tried to tell Liam to get Coyote as well. He didn't want him either.
Your Zoom call with Liam was brilliant. I dropped in for a couple of minutes and I said, all right, mate, how you doing? He's like, all right. He said, yeah, sort of all right, but all my players are flagged and the ones that aren't playing. I was like, all right. Should be a good week then, Liam.
But then Liam got it. Is Liam in? He got it in his head that he really wanted Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And I was why do you want Dominic Calvert-Lewin? What are you doing?
Oh.
And then I tried to persuade him to get Coyote. He wasn't having any of it. But I was right on Coyote. George, you see, I was being positive about Brentford and I was right to be defensively.
You were.
Never mind that you were bottom of the XG stats again this week.
Kevin Jenkins is here. Very nice to see you. Kelly T. Hey, Kelly. Monkey Trousers 1969 is here, Sam. Enough said about that, the better. Richard Lohman, Chatterbox, Daniel Banks, and a whole host of people.
You made that up.
I made that up. Monkey Trousers. He's in.
1969.
I don't know what's going on tonight, guys. I tell you, our football teams...
You've got to laugh, because if you don't, you cry.
I think you do.
Honestly, you do. If you don't laugh, you cry.
I think you do, Sam. And genuinely, I think while the hilarity continues and we're not taking ourselves too seriously, we've got to start with your team, haven't we? Because, I don't know, or is that just like, will you just go all serious or just get it out of the way? Because as most of you guys will know, and certainly the Sackers will know, you went to the game today.
Yeah.
So you sent me a video of the pre-match and the bus and everything else. I have some thoughts about that, by the way. Some of you might like, some you won't.
That's fine. I never like what you say, so that's fine. We'll go with it again.
I will only have half an opinion on Spurs, let's say, today. Because I genuinely think, well, I'll say what I think about the bus in a minute, but what do you make of the game? Tell us about the match day experience. Go on.
It was interesting, wasn't it, today? Because both the club and the supporters groups and the THFC fan group, the ones that with the flags, there was this whole thing about let's show loyalty and togetherness, and let's go and support them because they feel they're not being supported, and blah 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 and blah 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 and blah blah blah.
Yeah, wasn't there this thing about show up, sing up, stay up?
Yes.
I've seen that on Twitter a bit.
Yeah, which has been reported. That's both the club and the supporters groups. It was like a whole unified thing. And they basically told us today, turn up, support your team, get behind them. Now, if I'm honest, part of this annoys me a little bit because I have turned up there every single home game this season.
Oh, God, yeah.
Come rain and shine, I've turned up. I've sat through 90 minutes of utter guff and waffle, not just from you, but from my club, every single week. I'd never leave early. I always sing, and so do the people around me. Now, I'm not saying that everyone in the stand does that, but we do that. But after a season of this, it's become increasingly difficult to stay positive.
Of course.
So today, we go. It's sunny. It's nice weather. We all get there super early. Spurs are encouraging this. They're like, come early. We'll give you buy one, get one free on drinks if you come in before 1:30, right?
Okay.
So if you get there between the opening at 12:15 and 1:30, it's buy one, get one free on drink. Fine. Any drink.
Booze
you want.
As well.
Booze.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Right. Tea, coffee, soft
drinks.
Half-priced
beers.
Whatever
you
want.
Bloody hell.
Okay. So my mum and I decided today, because it's nice weather, we weren't going to park in the car park like we normally do.
Yeah.
We're going to walk. So we park a half an hour walk away. We get talking to this man because we park outside his house. He's on the way to the game as well. He goes, don't go that way. Go that way. It's nice. You go through the park. Lovely. Go on a nice walk. It's gorgeous. Everyone's in good spirits. Everyone's happy. We get down the high street. And I said to my mum, geez, it's busy. Because I thought we were running a bit late because we left after Max's game. And I thought the bus would be gone by the time we got there.
Yeah.
No, the bus had not gone. So we accidentally ended up in the perfect spot to watch the bus. Like literally on the front row, the bus came right in front
of me. The video you sent me,
the bus.
The bus nearly runs you over.
I can touch the bus.
Yeah.
The bus is that close to me. I can touch it. So we're standing and so I said to mum, we might as well stand it because you can't get down the high road. It is chock.
Yeah.
It was like the bus parade when we won the trophy. It is mental. And Igor's talked about it in the presser, how he's really excited about it. He's excited to see the fans out, everything else. They've got flares. They're on bus stops. They're hanging out of the windows. We get to the gate. So the bus comes past. It goes in. We walk down the high street. It took us... What should be a 3-minute walk took us half an hour. Anyway, we get to the turn, we get in, we get our half-price drinks, we get in our seats.
So just before you get to the game and the in-stadium experience, that bus, that whole thing, was that a net positive or a net negative?
I don't know. And I said that before it happened. I said, I don't know whether this is the right thing today or not. I don't know whether we are, like, we're all doing this anyway. We're all coming here. It's not like the stadium's half empty every week. It's not.
Yeah.
We're all turning up every bloody week anyway. Why do we have to go outside and show them all that we're turning up? But anyway, we're doing it. So we do this. I don't know whether it's a good thing or not. What I will say, the first half of football, we were actually quite good.
I'm not allowed an opinion on Spurs. I thought the fact that the Spurs fans showed up in the way that they did was unbelievable. Unbelievable, right? Given the dross you've had to sit through.
It's been
week
terrible.
After week. What is it, 2 wins in the league at home this season?
Yeah.
To show up in the way that you did was unbelievable, right? But I don't think it helped. I don't think it helped. Because if it's cup final day, sure. Yeah. The bus is coming in. you're hanging off a lamppost, you've got the flares out, you're getting the boys riled up, ready for a performance in the cup final. I think that bus today, that whole thing, put them under another layer of unnecessary pressure.
You might be right. I think the way that they see it, the club, whether the players do or not, but the club and the supporters groups that were working with the club, is that it was, including today, 8 finals.
Mm.
And so you've got to go into every game as if you are in the FA Cup final every single week, because if you don't, survival is going to be...
But what happens next home game then? Do you do the same thing? You turn up and your flares and your bus and your scarves? What?
Honestly, I think it was because of the opposition today. I think that's why they picked today. Because today was like, if we win today, it's a 6-pointer over Nottingham Forest, is the reality of this. It brings us 4 points away from the drop. It moves us up the league. It allows us to get that distance. And then we kick on. Then we go on this international break where a lot of our players aren't necessarily going away. We come back from the break. Kudus is back. Bentancur's nearly back. Madison's nearly back. All of these names start to come back. And the bench today was full of optimism because there was a lot of names there.
It wasn't just free keepers and some kids, correct, was it? It actually was a bench.
It was actual proper bench today. So I think that's why they picked today. I don't think they picked today because they're going to do it every week. I think they picked today because it was like, this feels like the turning point game, particularly after the week that we'd had, because we got a decent result up at Anfield last weekend.
Yeah.
And then we'd gone into the Champions League match where we got a good result. I know we went out, but we got a good result against Atleti. The crowd were really behind us, and it felt, and I said to you, didn't I, when I got home, I felt like for the first time in a while, we were starting to see a team playing for the man in the dugout. We're starting to see a bit of something coming from them. Today, I felt like we took a whole step back. Like, they were playing today. The first half, they were quite good.
They were, actually.
The first half, we were quite good.
It was okay.
We were quite good. We made some good... We couldn't finish our chances. We made a lot of decent opportunities.
Didn't
and
deserve
we couldn't
to be
1-0
down at half-time.
No, we didn't. So it comes to the second half starting, and then it comes up on the score... like on the screen, that he's taken Mickey off.
Yeah.
Now.
And Spence, by the way.
We'll get to Spence in a minute. Now, Mickey, I'm all right with-ish, because I'm never all right with Mickey coming off. But he rolled his ankle. So when he goes down, he's in front of us, he goes to win a ball attacking, and he falls down the slope, and he does definitely roll his ankle, and he isn't right. And that happens about 4 minutes before the end of the first half. So I think there's an element.
You saw that happening.
It's right in front of me. Right. So I think there is an element of... protection, like, he's clearly not run it off properly, fine, he goes off, okay, I'm not happy about it, but fine, I can see why you've done it. Spence, I have no idea why he made that. I have no idea why he made that. Spence was doing a decent job. I have no idea. Then they score. The changes that he's making are bonkers. Taking off Archie Gray and putting Conor Gallagher on, why? Archie Gray has got 3 weeks off now. Well, he's not, he's going to go away with England, but that's not the point. Why are you taking him off? He's always there. He's trying. Conor Gallagher was god awful when he came on. So why have you done that? To me, there was a whole heap of problems. And tactically, I just don't think he gets it. And that is really difficult. Because when you've been there and you've... And as my mum said to me when we were walking away, she said, look, it's not just the cost of the season tickets, because that is what it is. It's the cost of... Every single European night, we've bought the tickets and we've turned up. We've paid for the car parks. You buy food, you buy drink, you buy shirts. It's part of being a supporter of the club. But you spend thousands of pounds
every
season.
It's your time as well, right? It's not just 90 minutes out of a day, is it?
No, I mean,
it's several hours.
I left you guys at, 11 o'clock this morning, and I got back here about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So 6 hours of my weekend that I didn't spend with my children or my husband. I mean, he was grumpy anyway because of Chow, so maybe I'm less bothered about him. But I didn't spend it with my children. I instead went, and I had a lovely time with my mum. I love going to football with my mum, don't get me wrong. But it is so difficult. And I'm walking back to a car with my mum, and I'm like, I've got to go and stream tonight now. And
this is hard, isn't it? This is hard. I mean, we're not where you are in the league, and I'm finding it difficult to talk about Liverpool on here on a Sunday night. So this must just be horrible. And you've got to do on the bloody other podcast with Jules and Kelly as well every week about talking about Spurs. It's hard.
Well, pre the Liverpool game last week, I took some days off work because I actually genuinely can't, because it's my whole job is talking about football. So to go and watch that dross every single week and then to have to go to the office and keep talking about it. And of course, because you're in a football office, people don't mean it. They just talk to you about it. I don't want will talk about it. Don't talk to me about it. Piss off. I'll put my headphones on. So tomorrow when I go to the office, yes, I will literally put my headphones on and sit in the corner.
All right. So what about from an FPL perspective then? What are you doing about your Spurs players? You've got Van de Ven. You bought in Richarlison this week as well, which I didn't mind. I thought that was a reasonable punt based on the last week or so that you've had. But if we look at the fixture ticker for Spurs between now and the end of the season, I think I've done the ticker right this week. Yeah, 32 to 38. Good. It's about time I did this right. Sunderland away next, which, I mean, they've just beaten Newcastle. We know that they're struggling at home a little bit, Sunderland, and struggling full stop to, I think maybe the season's caught up with them a little bit. But they beat Newcastle today. And with most of their squad now having a 3 week break,
most of mine are as well, to be fair.
That's now a difficult fixture, Sunderland away. Then it's Brighton at home, Wolves away, Villa away, Leeds at home, before it's Chelsea and Everton. So, regardless of the fixtures, I don't see me investing in Spurs.
Don't do that, whatever you do. I probably will keep... Well, let's see. We'll get through the international break. We'll see who comes back and who doesn't and what problems there are and all of that kind of stuff. Because this is the other thing. It's actually quite difficult to think about what your team might look like in 3 weeks' time, because some players will have a couple of international matches and an FA Cup match before I see them again in my FPL team.
And are we saying that that's a reasonable bit of general advice? And I think it's one of the things I'm looking at is potentially wildcard in 32.
Don't do it till after the FA Cup matches.
Might be later in the season. I haven't decided on my strategy yet. But what I would normally do with the wild card is I'd be like, bang it tonight, because I want to take advantage of all the price rises.
Yeah, I get that.
But I'm not doing that.
Don't do that.
I'm not doing it because I'm not 100% set on wild card 32. And a lot of whether I play it or not is going to depend on what happens with the FA Cup.
Yes.
And what, therefore, the doubles look like later on in the season.
Yeah.
Or a few weeks down the line, because... You know, we could be in a situation where if, and I don't think that we will, but let's just say that Liverpool did beat Manchester City in the FA Cup.
Yep.
We'd be potentially talking about a double game week with, okay, Arsenal, but like Chelsea are probably going to get through. They've got a nice fixture, haven't they? Then Liverpool as well. Like, who wants a double? Who wants to load up on Liverpool and Chelsea right now? Absolutely not. So that wild card, we're wild carding into what? João Pedro, Enzo, Ekitike and Virgil, who I've got anyway, and a crap, and I want rid of them. I want rid of these players, not keeping them on wildcard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I am by no means locked in on my wildcard strategy at all. Yeah, at all.
Mm.
But I'm just waiting to see how the next few weeks play out. So, genuinely, I think I'll be putting FPL down for a week. I'd be just like, just don't look at it for a week. Will you?
If I don't have a wild card, but in terms of my transfers, I'm not doing anything until after the FA Cup matches are finished.
Yeah.
Because I think we'll have so much more of an understanding of not just fitness and availability and all of that kind of stuff, but we'll also have a bit more or a lot more awareness of then what potentially we are dealing with the end of the season. Because the way that the Champions League has gone, with teams just getting knocked out left, right and centre, suddenly...
Yeah. We all assumed the English teams would all just get thrown in,
right? Well, that's it. And I think we did. I think we all kind of looked at it and went, well, maybe not Spurs because we're awful, but Liverpool and Newcastle, maybe not because of the Barcelona game. But I certainly think we all thought that Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal would be through and possibly Chelsea would give PSG a decent game.
Yeah.
Actually, what ended up happening is that we lost everybody apart from Liverpool and Arsenal. Now, heading into the next few weeks, I think we're also expecting that Liverpool will go out of the FA Cup, but to Manchester City. And if that happens, then again, the need for doubles is different because Man City can play a fixture in game week 34 because they're out of the Champions League. So maybe they get one double game week because obviously they've got a Palace game to reschedule. But all of this stuff is so up in the air. We'll know it by the time we get out of the international break and past the FA Cup weekend. We'll know for a fact on stuff. And I think it's at that moment you can decide on what your strategy is. So for me, my advice would be don't do anything. Don't play a wild card. Don't make transfers. Do nothing until after FA Cup.
Which is why when we get to our teams later on, we'll obviously show you our points for this week and our ranks and everything. But I don't think you've prepared the next game week slide.
I have not, no.
Because genuinely, anything can happen between now and game week 32. The landscape could totally change.
That's right. And I said that
I've not
to
even
you,
bothered with putting a wild card draft together because I don't know if I'm playing it or not yet.
No.
So it's difficult. It's difficult to sit here on this stream today and know what the hell we're going to be doing 3 weeks from now.
But we will do something that we never do, which is come to you the FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, we usually have that weekend off, but that feels big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That feels big.
So we'll come a live stream.
We will do a live stream. Yeah,
that we'll weekend do a live stream. Ahead of game week 32, where we'll look at our teams and what the FA Cup has meant. And we'll do a stream that Sunday evening so that we can go through that.
All right, any words for Forest? were they any good?
No.
Or was it just that Spurs...
No, they weren't. Okay. They all weren't right. Really. I'd like to sit here and go, oh yeah, you can invest in Forest. But genuinely, this is not me being bitter or anything like that. First half, they were meh. The second half, they had a goal that they probably didn't... Maybe it's a bit bitter for me to say that they probably didn't deserve, but I didn't think they really deserved the goal at the end of the first half. But fine, they got it, whatever. The second one... It's another mistake at the back. It's just another mistake that should be being dealt with and it isn't dealt with. And the third one, our heads have gone. So for me, it's still Elliot Anderson or no one at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah,
just
death
how
gone
it is.
In again, wasn't he today, Anderson?
It's just how it is, yeah. And actually, do you know what? I can honestly say I didn't really see him much. Like, it wasn't like I was watching thinking, God, Elliot Anderson is everywhere. But yeah, he still
That's why he's good, though,
cons.
Isn't he? That's why he's good. Because he just low-key goes about his business in a brilliant way.
Yeah, so it's him or no one, I think, really, still.
Okay. All right, well, that's Spurs.
Do you want to do Liverpool?
Well,
just
no, we'll save that. We'll save that for a bit. Otherwise, it's just all negative, isn't it? Let's talk.
Where do we go to be positive?
Well, let's go back to Friday, because the United fans are going to be reasonably positive about this, although some of them might see it as 2 points dropped. But for those of us that captain Bruno, it's just, I think we sat here, didn't we, last Sunday or the Sunday before, or maybe every Sunday, and we're just like, well, it's not Haaland perma-captain anymore, but it feels like Bruno's just the one, doesn't it? It just feels like he's the one. I think the less said about him, the better, because in reality, we've all got him and we're all going to be captaining most weeks.
I think so. And I also think, you know, I did really look elsewhere this week, because I was thinking, oh, it's the Friday night game. I hate the Friday. I don't want to captain someone on Friday night.
Yeah.
Spurs might ruin my weekend on Sunday as it is. I would like it if my whole life wasn't ruined.
Who would you have gone then if not Bruno?
Well, that was part of my issue.
Yeah.
Is that I didn't really have anyone else that I trusted.
You didn't have Wilson, did you?
If I had Wilson, I think I'd have been really tempted.
Yes, I was. Yeah,
I didn't have Wilson. So for me, it was like, well, it's Bruno then, isn't it? And I'm just going to have to like it if he doesn't do anything.
I think if you're a Bruno captainer, you're happy with the 13 points. Probably should have had more. Because the penalty that they're not given, Manchester United...
Well, I thought that was a penalty.
It's a bit of a joke, isn't it?
I thought it was a penalty.
Because the penalty... I think it's more of a penalty than the one on Evan Nilsson.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Bournemouth one. The one that Kroupy took. I think it's more... I think it's...
And also, what the hell is Kroupy doing taking that penalty?
Well, that's an interesting comment, right? Because I thought Taff was on penalties, no?
I can't tell you how pissed off...
God.
Honestly, of all the things...
I was trying to make this a positive
thing. I know, and we'll get back to positives in a minute. But of all the things that have happened this weekend, that was probably the thing that annoyed me the most.
Because you had Tavernier and sold Kroupy,
so
didn't you?
So I sold Kroupy this week. Because he'd had 7 starts in 10, and I just thought he might not start. And I was right. And I was worried about the fact he might not start. And I was also, a bit like you were saying about Harry Wilson, I was worried about João Pedro. And I just thought, you know what? I've got loads of money now. Let's just do Kroupy to João Pedro. So when Kroupy doesn't start, I'm like...
Decent.
Great.
Good decision.
Finally, I've made a good decision in FPL. Happy with the world.
Yeah.
Evan Nilsson wins a penalty. And I'm like... Who who takes their penalties?
Yeah.
And you went, it's Tav, isn't it? I was like, blimmin' well better be. It has been every other week. Tav takes the pens. And then it goes to the shot of the player holding the ball. I'm like, that's not Tav. That is not Tav. Why has Kroupy Jr. Got the ball? And then he scores. And I'm fuming because, of course, now I've taken him out. I've got João Pedro, who then goes on to blank. Raging, thank you. João Pedro. Frustrating night.
All right,
Bruno, great.
Bruno, great. If you were an Mbeumo owner in
FPL... you've got the right to be annoyed, though, if you're in Mbeumo.
How do you feel? Because he's going for a bit of a rough patch, isn't he, old Brian? And, of course, you know, Sesko, no points in this game, but has come on over the last few weeks and been a handful and proves he should be starting, maybe. But Carrick does seem to like Brian, but he's coming off early and you just can't invest in him, can you? I don't think, Mbeumo.
No, I don't think so. I think from my stance with Manchester United, if you want to take a punt on Sesko because you know there's not 3 other forwards that you prefer, then okay. I just think that with Mbeumo and to a certain extent Cunha, I just don't see enough value returns from either of them consistently to warrant having them in a midfielder slot. Bruno 100%. have him, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with the other two, I feel like they're not really worth the investment right now.
I think as Joseph Robinson saying in the chat, it's a nice comment, Joseph. He says, Mbeumo had these kind of barren spells at Brentford as well, but always came good again. Listen, Joseph, Mbeumo's a quality player. There's no doubt he's going to come good again, in my mind, no doubt. But yeah, that's the art of FPL with him, though, isn't it? You've got to kind of come on, you've got to get on and come off at the right time.
A bit
I
like
think.
Foden. He's a bit like Foden from that point of view.
Yeah, he's maybe a bit more consistent. I'm just not sure that he's a number nine, you know. I just think he'd be better just sort of consistently playing on that right-hand side, I think, and maybe having Sesko up front. But I don't know. I mean, from a Manchester United perspective then, let's have a look at their fixtures for the remainder of the season. Of course, no other competitions for those guys to worry about. Leeds at home, followed by Chelsea away. Who knows what sort of Chelsea we're going to have by the time game week 33 rolls around. Brentford at home, Liverpool at home are also looking pretty crap before Sunderland away in game week 36. So, listen, you'd look at those Manchester United fixtures and you go, well, three of the next four are at home. And, all right, you'd say, you know, Leeds and Brentford at home, you'd fancy them, wouldn't you? Chelsea and Liverpool on paper looks a bit more difficult. But let me tell you, it's absolutely not based on what we're seeing from those two clubs. So, the next four for United look good. So anyone that is considering the wildcard in 32, obviously you're keeping Bruno, but I'm going to find it difficult not to go with the second one. But I'm also going to find it difficult to know who.
Yeah,
it's going to be difficult. It's a difficult one. But of course, like you said, we've got 3 weeks to figure out what's going to happen and what's going on. But United, I think, are going to be, come game week 32, wildcards played or not, I think they're going to be on a lot of people's agendas because Bruno's now a bit of a, it's just a bit of a nothing, isn't he? I think he was about 170% EO at my rank. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That means everyone's got him and the majority are captaining. And really, I think only the minority went against him because Wilson was such a good captaincy option this week.
Mm.
So in a lot of other game weeks, it would have been Bruno or nothing.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, well, if you want to use United as a means to move up your rank and as a bit of a differential, you've got to add to him, haven't you? You've got to have him and.
Yeah, but...
Difficult, isn't it, though? All right, well, that's United 2, Bournemouth 2. Anything to say about Bournemouth? I think we've said it, haven't we?
James Hill.
Oh, man alive. Man alive, poor James Hill. Yeah, I said at the top of the pod, didn't I, about the fact that a few things went against me this week. You know, boo-hoo, poor old Lou with his seven green arrows in a row. But genuinely, that did go against. The fact that it just hits his head and goes in is a right bummer. Yeah, a real bummer. So, yeah, James Hill with the minus one this week, which was a stinker, to be honest, a stinker. But he has been good for us over the last few weeks, isn't he? Us James Hill owners, where we, you know, maybe we can just take that one on the chin and get on with it. But yeah, he was bang unlucky with that.
It's kind of typical, though, isn't it, that happens in the blank game week? Because in most weeks, if the game against Manchester United had happened in any other week, you would have benched James Hill this week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But of course, you've got to play him this week because it's the blank game week and everything else. So yeah, just a bit unlucky.
I do feel a bit for the Maguire owners as well, because goodness me, that's a roller coaster as well,
wasn't
it?
Oh yeah, wasn't it just?
Losing the clean sheet. Then you think he scored, but it comes off James Hill's head and then he gets sent off. It's just like, bloody hell, if you've got Maguire, that is a hell of an afternoon.
Yeah,
a hell
Wilco
of an
afternoon. Had him, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's got reasonable ownership, I think.
Yeah, yeah, James
reasonable
Hill as
well, ownership. Yeah, well, Hill definitely has, but Maguire has as well. All right, that's Bournemouth and Manchester United. Let's do Fulham then. Fulham 3, Burnley 1. Did not expect Burnley to pop up with a goal here, although as you often say,
they always score.
They always find a way, and Fleming gets, I don't know what number goal that is for him this season. The chat will tell us, I'm sure, but he's got to be...
He's chalking him up now.
He's got to be sort of, 6 or 7 goals? I don't know. Chat will tell us. Fulham, though, in the end... made it happen, and yeah, of course Wilson gets the goal, but it was Josh King, actually a favourite of both of ours
back in the day
with the goal and the assist, his first goal I think for Fulham this season, and then Jimenez pops up with a penalty in what was it, a sort of 95th minute or something. So in the end, fairly routine. Views on the game before we talk about ongoing fixtures for Fulham?
Oh, this was hard, this one, because this is the game I was worried. I had Dubravka as my goalkeeper this week,
right?
Because Roos was obviously still probably likely to be out, and then he was, so had to play Dubravka. And for a really long chunk of time, it looked like he was going to get a clean sheet.
Did, absolutely did.
And that was worth about 50k in rank to me, that Dubravka clean sheet looking in, and I was thinking, this is nice, this is good. Come on, Martin, just see it out, keep him quiet. And then when Josh King scored, I was like, okay, it's not the end of the world. That's all right. That's not the end of the world. Yep. It's not.
Yep.
It's not Harry. And then it was Harry, and it was awful. Alas, I think it's one of those, isn't it, where Harry Wilson just feels like he does feel like a little bit of a no-brainer at his price
asset,
point. He's a decent, yeah, absolutely. I think the bigger question, I guess, is on Raúl Jiménez. Obviously, bench comes on, gets the goal, but doesn't start the game. And you rightly said that on the live stream last week. You're like, well, do we have to worry about the Moonies being back? And
didn't he have a family bereavement?
His dad had died a couple of weeks before, the week before.
Yeah, so maybe he's managing that
weekend. So yeah. Maybe, but we also had the player back from injury. So maybe there was a, you know, maybe there is a little bit more rotation that comes with Jiménez over the next couple of weeks. I don't know, but certainly from a Fulham perspective, it feels like Harry Wilson is the one to go to.
Totally, yeah. And from a fixtures perspective, let's have a look at Fulham then. Where are they on my ticker? Towards the bottom, actually. Liverpool away, great fixture coming up next. Then away at Brentford, Villa, Arsenal away, Bournemouth at home. It's, well, listen, there's a lot of red there on the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. Third from bottom, Bournemouth bottom, Palace second bottom, Fulham third bottom. Let me tell you, going away to Anfield is no big deal, by the way. And even at home to Villa looks okay, the way that Villa are playing, despite the win. They've not been great, have they, in recent weeks. So, mixed from a Fulham perspective. Do those fixtures to you scream out Wilson on a game week 32 wildcard or nah?
Well, I think it depends on how you want to play the final part of the season. I, if I'm really brutally honest, I don't think if I had my wildcard, I wouldn't play in 32. I'd save it and play in 35 because I just think...
It's still an option, yeah, totally.
I think that looks like a better window. And then maybe there's a difference of opinion in terms of the players that you go to. I just think that right now, the Premier League is weird this season. It is weird.
Could say that, yeah.
Like, we're getting weird results that we're not really expecting to happen. We're getting even, like, score lines within games that you're not really expecting to happen. And I think with somebody like Harry Wilson at Fulham, you kind of know what you're going to get. We were talking before about consistency and players that have that consistency of returns. Well, with Harry Wilson, you have got that. You've got that consistency. So despite maybe the fixtures not looking like the best fixtures ever in the world, I think he's still investable.
Yeah. All right. Chat saying that was Fleming's eighth goal of the season, by the way.
There you go.
Zion Fleming, take a bow. Eight goals. Not bad. Not bad at all. Where else do you want to go? Everton 3, Chelsea 0. I mean,
I said I thought Chelsea were going to lose this game on the Q&A. Well, Az and I had an absolutely blinding row about this on the Q&A.
It was a very interesting conversation because it was all around Palmer, wasn't it? Or a lot of it was about Palmer. And the
I
fact
was
that...
convinced Chelsea were going to lose.
Yeah.
Didn't fancy Palmer at all.
Az obviously did. I mean, he was talking about, well, if I had a free hit, it'd be the first one in the squad. And I was like, I think if I was free hitting in 31, I think I would have put Palmer in there.
Would you have gone with Az on that, would you?
Yeah, but Az was like, well, I'd put him as captain. I was like, well, what about that? I mean, I think I might have put Palmer in because I don't think money would have been an issue with no Haaland or Saka or Salah. So I probably would have gone, well, I've got this money. I might as well get Palmer. Probably would have done that. But I don't think I would have backed him captain. No, I don't think so. I mean, what do you make of? Oh, we've got to give Everton their flowers in a minute, right? Because, you know, in particular, I thought Ndiaye in this game was particularly good. But we've got to talk about Chelsea, haven't we? We've got to talk about them because, I don't know, what's they've had a funny couple of weeks, haven't they? What with the huddles in the middle of the pitch and the memes with the ref and we're protecting the ball. Respecting the ball.
Did you see Everton trolling them on their admin?
Yeah, there's just too much, like, there's too much noise around the club at the minute. And I don't know, and there's almost like a bit of narrative against Rossignol now as well, if you've seen this. They're talking about, you know, he's not the right man to lead us. And it's like, well, Christ almighty, like, you've give the guy a chance. He had a pretty good start. And even I sat here a few weeks ago and I don't know what came over me, but I think I gave Chelsea some praise. I think I was talking about the fact that I quite liked the way that Rossignol had started at Chelsea. I thought he came across quite well in interviews and he was doing quite well to sort of big up the players and talk about how great they are. And he was giving them confidence and they were getting results. They were doing all right, weren't they? And João Pedro was flying. And here we are, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks and they've had a couple of dodgy results. All right, they got tanked in the Champions League. It did get tanked in the Champions League, which is not acceptable, but it can happen because it's a Champions League. Couple of dodgy results in the league. All of a sudden, classic Chelsea, they're calling for his head. It's like, I just can't work this club out. Someone tell me what's going on at Chelsea again.
Okay. I can't tell you what's going on at Chelsea, but what I will say is that I didn't fancy them at all this week. And do you know what? I was really annoyed with myself. And again, I said this to you, didn't I, on Saturday night when that game was going on, because like I said, we'd gone to pick up Max from this party while Harry Wilson saga was going on at Fulham.
Yeah.
And it spilled into the Chelsea game. And you said Everton are winning. And I was like, I'm not surprised. I thought Everton might. Chelsea just aren't in a great moment right now. And then, but I was really...
But every time they're not in a great moment, they like...
They get smashed.
Yeah, no, but the powers that be, like people in the chat saying the hierarchy of clowns. Yeah, like they have one bad result. And it's like, hell breaks loose and we've got to sack the manager all the players. It's
we
like,
said
what
that. What? We said that today before the game. Chelsea. We were sitting in the Spurs stand and we were talking. And we were like, what is going on at Chelsea? Why do they feel the need to change, make so many changes? Just let it be and settle and try and find a way around it. And it did feel like they very much, they didn't, I personally don't think that they needed to change Maresca when they did. He clearly said something to the board, they just had enough. They parted company. That was the end of it. Then they got Rossini because he was the easy option. He was the easy option for them to get. And it's not the right man for the job. I'm convinced it's not. I thought it was a weird appointment at the time and it looks even weirder now.
Well, Lawrence Breyer's in the chat saying they've lost 4 matches on the bounce. Okay. Well, give him a chance to find some form. Spurs have been shit all season. Liverpool have been crap for nearly 8 months.
I think,
like, you look, they lose 4 games. I think one was PSG, one was Arsenal. It's like
two are PSG,
one's Arsenal, and then this one today against Everton, which is not easy, is it? Going to the Hill Dickinson, I mean, anything can happen there, right? It's a bad result, but can't just fire managers the way they do it at Chelsea. It's like, for goodness sake,
well, I don't think they will sack him, but what I will say,
do you not
say,
think so?
Not anytime soon, anyway.
I think they will,
do you?
Yeah, I think they absolutely will. That's what they do. That's what they do. I mean, a 6-year contract, by the way, so he probably wants to be sacked.
Yeah, probably does. Well, going into this week, my decision making this week has been odd, I'll hold my hands up to it because I was absolutely convinced that Chelsea were going to get beaten. Yes, yeah, and I think it was panic in part because I knew I hadn't got an easy route to Harry Wilson.
Mm.
So my route to Harry Wilson was to sell Semenyo, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to sell Semenyo because I was already going to have to sell Haaland. I didn't want to sell both my City attackers.
Mm. And you don't have the wild card.
I don't have the wild card, so I have to think really carefully about what am I doing.
Yes.
And I'm also thinking Chelsea look like they're going to progress in the FA Cup. They're probably going to have a double. I probably need to think about that. Actually, because they're out of the Champions League, they probably won't have a double because it will probably just slot into the midweek. But in my head, all of these things are going through and I'm thinking, I can't get Harry Wilson and I'm worried about that. And I can't get Anthony Gordon and I'm worried about that. So why don't I just cover out the biggest worry that I have, which is João Pedro?
Yeah.
Because he's heavily owned. I'm going to go rogue with Richarlison. So let's just get João Pedro and cover that pain.
How do you feel about him going forward now?
Well, you said to me, but now what are you going to do, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with him now? You're stuck with him. And I was like, nah, I can sell him again. And then I thought, no, you're right. I do feel like I'm a bit stuck with him because I got him to close off a route to pain. So what am I
open
now?
It up again?
So what am I now saying? I'll get rid of you. What? Because Chelsea aren't very good now. So I think, well, I don't need to close that route to pain anymore. Mm. So I'll just open it back up again. Or am I saying I only wanted to close it off for this week because I was worried more about this week because I was worried I didn't have as many routes to points this week.
Do you think Rossini will be in charge game week 32?
Yes. Do you not?
I don't think he will.
You think they're going to sack him over the international break and put who in charge?
Whoever they want, Sam. This is Chelsea. The model's broken. The club's broken. That's what they do.
Wow.
He says one weird thing in a press conference and that's it. He's done. Listen, I'm being a little bit... Maybe it's a little bit out there, but would it shock you? Would it shock you if sometime over the international break, Rossini gets fired by Chelsea? Wouldn't shock me at all.
No, I guess it wouldn't shock me, but I'd be surprised.
And they get Igor Tudor in.
Well, he's going to get sacked. Despite the fact that he's had to go off because he's had some sort of death in the family today.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
I think he's still going to get sacked.
Yeah.
And I think he should be sacked.
He should be. But I think Rossini could absolutely be sacked.
Well,
as
I don't want him at Spurs.
I don't think you'll sign him at Spurs. Everton, though, good, bad?
Good.
Indifferent? Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Very good.
Yeah, good. I did say I quite fancied Keenan Dewsbury Hall as a bit of a diff this week. And all right, not really getting anything here, but I think there's a number of decent options at Everton, aren't there? I don't think you go for one of the forwards. Like, you're not going to pick Beto. There's the reality there. But And I don't love the fixtures. The fixtures for Everton aren't great, are they? Because I remember you saying you've got Tarko for this week, but after that, you're not bothered.
After that, it's tricky, yeah. So Brentford away, tricky, obviously. Then the Merseyside derby, easy game.
Is it tricky?
What, Brentford away?
Well, Brentford, if you look at the Team XG stats for this week, Brentford bottom again.
Oh, okay.
Bottom again.
All right. All right, well, let's say that. Say it's at best an average fixture then. Merseyside derby, anything can happen, but it's the first Merseyside derby at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. They're going to be so up for that. West Ham away. West Ham are fighting for their lives. Could be tricky. Manchester City at home before they go Palace away, Sunderland home. So they are, I think it looks like they are, bang in the middle of the FDR, the fixture difficulty rating ticker, according to Fantasy Football Scout. So it's tough. I think they're a tough pick if you're going to go with them in game week 32 on the wild card. A tough, tough pick. I probably won't have Tarkowski, I don't think. And will I have a Kean and Jewsby Hall? Well, I don't think so.
And I?
Depends how rogue you want to be, doesn't it? Mm. Depends how much you want to attack the last few weeks and have a bit of fun with it. Because they're not...
Fun?
They're not really... They're not safe picks, are they? You use a forward slot for Beto. That's a risk. You use a forward slot for...
And I don't think
a midfielder for Ndiaye. That's a risk. Mm. You know, even if you go for a... I mean... Even James Garner's quietly going about his business and having
called
a pretty good
England,
season,
yeah.
isn't he? Yeah, I mean, fair play to the kid. Fair play.
It's been very good.
But I would say with those fixtures, any Everton slots you use, despite the fact that they're now on a bit of a run potentially for a European push, I mean, Moyes has done a great job, hasn't he, over the last few weeks. Unlikely to go there, I think. Unlikely to go there. Let's do our game then. So let's go Brighton 2, Liverpool 1.
Seatbelts on, guys. Seatbelts on.
No, listen up. I can't do it every week, can I? I can't do it every week. I mean, last week I listened back to what I said about us against you lot and I just thought, what a muppet. Like, how are you guys sat here and listen to that? I don't know, because I went off on one. I can't do it every week, can I? But I easily could. Again, another dreadful performance. Another dreadful performance. And it's like, now we're starting to see some... comments as well in post matches which don't sound great. There's some really bad sound bites knocking around, you know, Virgil van Dijk talking about the fact that the day's training they had between the Galatasaray game and traveling for this game, he was quote expecting to see more players on the training pitch than he did. And when you look into it, apparently not that there was many training videos or photos that day. And the reason for that was that there was only about 5 or 6 of them training that day.
Where was everyone else?
Well, apparently, Slot's philosophy is he prioritises rest. He prioritises recovery. He prioritises sleep. He prioritises, rest and being ready.
Well, I prioritise sleep, but I still go to the gym.
Well, the problem with that is if you're in how many times did Klopp, does Pep, does Arteta, all the top managers talk about momentum? They talk about momentum. They talk about rhythm, don't they? Klopp used to talk about rhythm. I don't want to keep harking back to Klopp, obviously.
The good old days.
They were the good old days. But Klopp talks a lot about rhythm. Well, if your players are not training and they're resting. Mm-hmm. What did I say last week after the Spurs game? I said, it's all fucking lattes and cappuccinos and matchas over there at Liverpool at the minute, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's all a bit nicey-nicey. And then after the game, Slot talks about, well, we had the thing after Spurs about the fact that the Liverpool player, you know, the fans were booing the team. And we're not, mate, we're booing you. But he didn't want to, he didn't take that pressure, did he? You know, Klopp and other managers would take that and they'd go, well, it's on me. I made some mistakes there. Take the pressure off the players. Well, Slot didn't do that. He was just like, well, you're right to boo and you were booing them because they were shit. So he threw them under the bus. And then he comes out after this game and he talks, what was his comments? He said something, I can't remember what he said now, along the lines of something about the players' fitness. I can't remember what he said, but there was something there. I just thought, it's just not a good soundbite. It just wasn't a good soundbite. And then I see some photos of him at an airport today because he's off back to see his family in the Netherlands, which is fine. Look, listen, it's fine. If you've got his family... So he doesn't live in Liverpool, right, as far as I'm aware. He's got temporary kind of accommodation. And whenever he can, he flies back to the Netherlands to see his family.
2 seasons. Temporary accommodation.
Yeah. Well, this is the point, right? This is the point. And he has been known to like a holiday, right, on a slot. So there's images, photos of him at airports and stuff today. And it's like, well, where are you going? Like,
surely some of them are still there. Going? Some of them are still at training, no?
So, who's leaving training? This is the point. So there's just this stinky narrative around Liverpool at the minute. Just a real stinky narrative. And what we're seeing on the pitch is a bunch of players that, you know what, I've talked many, many, many weeks and the guys in the Slack will testify to this. I talk about us sleepwalking. I've said it week after week and actually Carragher started using that. not to take any credit for it, but Carragher started using that exact phrase against Spurs last week, didn't he? He started talking about us sleepwalking against Spurs. And I'm like, yes, been saying that for months about Liverpool and the way that we go about things. I'm starting to wonder whether it is a sleepwalky thing. Is it a complacency thing? Or genuinely, is it a fitness thing? Is it genuinely that the players are just not fit enough?
Well, because you didn't run as far as Brighton again this week.
And that is the stat. That is the stat that has smacked me in the face in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
When I read that Spurs outrun us by 9 kilometres, it blew my mind. Here's a team, and I know you're fighting for your lives. I understand that.
Oh, yeah, but we're crap.
But the way you've been playing, you're not running around. Like, it's not unbelievable football, is it?
No.
So
God,
to
no.
outrun us as a team by 9 kilometres astounded me. And then I look at it again against Brighton, and they outrun us by 7 kilometres. And then I look back and I say, well, is this a pattern? And then I see also other stats about the fact that we've been outrun 25 out of 28 times or something this season. And I'm just like, this is a fitness issue. This is a players are not ready issue. This isn't a sleepwalk. This is not complacency. This is fitness. This is just not being
Which
able...
Which is weird because under... And again, we shouldn't compare. But under Klopp, that was not a thing.
But no, but Klopp was all about...
Rhythm,
working
fitness,
hard, playing hard.
Yeah.
The players wanted to train hard because he had such an environment at that club. There was such a belief as a family at Liverpool that, yes, we all train together and we want to train hard together because we want to achieve together.
Yeah.
Slot's philosophy is totally different. He prioritises rest. He prioritises recovery. You've got Van Dijk out there with 5 others training the day before Brighton. And, yeah, no shit. Then we go down to the Amex and we lose. Difficult place to go in the first place. Never mind if no one's trained. And then if I start to look at the fact that we can see goals so late in games, that also plays into the narrative about us being unfit, doesn't it? Like, you get to 70, 75 minutes and you just can't see the game out because you're gassed.
You're tired, yeah.
You're just gassed out. So the point of that ramble, and I appreciate this is not FPL relevant, so thank you everyone for sticking with me through this rant. The point of all of that is... I'm not sure about picking any Liverpool in FPL right now. I'm also not convinced that we're going to get the Champions League. And I think it's this systemic issues at Liverpool with Slot's approach. And he has to go. He has to go, Arne Slot. He has to go.
We've sacked 3 managers on this podcast.
Now, whether we sack him during the international break, I don't think that we will. I think, given that he won the league last year, and you can say what you like about it, it was Klopp's team, but he still won the league last year. So you have to, I think... give him to the end of the season. You have to, I think. But then what happens at the end of the season? I think there's rumour about Alonso's assistant calling up Wirtz and Frimpong asking about the state of the club and what the vibe is like at Liverpool. You've seen these rumours?
Yeah, I saw.
So, you know, is Alonso coming in because his assistant's looking for a house and all that sort of stuff? Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. So maybe the writing's on the wall for Slot already. I don't know. But... you know, you guys will know that have been here every week this season with us on FPL Family. I've been sticking up for Slot a lot, but I just don't know. After the Spurs, that was the first time last week. If those of you that were here last week, I said Slot out after the Spurs game. It just wasn't good enough. And I've not seen anything this week that's going to change my mind. Even the Galatasaray game. Anyone can get up for a big game under the lights in Europe against Gala. Yeah, sure. Especially when, And the crowd reacted and the game state was such that we scored goals, the crowd reacted. Anyone can get up for that game. But you need to get up for the Amex. You can't just go to Brighton and just expect to get a result. You can't.
No, it's a difficult place to go.
Of course it is. Any game in the Premier League is difficult now. Away from home is difficult. It's physical. They bullied us. But Ekitike going off with a dead leg. It's dead leg, mate. Do you know what I mean? And then Slot comes out after the game and says... He could play tomorrow if he wants. Why Slot said that? That is throwing your player under the bus. All that Slot's got to say there... God, this is a real rant. Sorry, guys. All Slot's got to say there is we'll assess it over the break. Hopefully it's not too bad. Finish. That protects him, protects the player, protects everything about the situation. And we as fans go, I hope it's not too bad. And then you drop some news a week later. He's had a scan. It's fine. Should be back. That's fine. Everything's fine then, isn't it? But no. Slot comes out after the game. Yeah, he could play tomorrow if he wants to. That's it. He's throwing Ekitike right under the bus there.
Mm.
Right, what he's saying there is, man up, Hugo. He's fucking dead leg. Get up and play. You can't do that to your players. You just can't do that to your players. Anyway, sorry, that's a massive rant. said I wasn't going to do it. FPL then, just don't. What? So I'm feeling very anti-Liverpool at the moment, so I wouldn't pick them. But how do you feel as a relative neutral about Liverpool and FPL?
I mean, I don't think I am that neutral, to be fair. But Dom Szoboszlai, I think, he still remains a hold for me. He's on set pieces. Mm. He picks up the DEFCON regularly. He picked up the DEFCON again in this one. For me, at his price point, I'm happy to hold him. Plus, I also think, you know, I keep reeling out the rhetoric around...
He was good again, Dom, by the way.
He's always good. I keep reeling out the rhetoric around teams with something to fight for. And despite all of that stuff that you've just said, you have got something to fight for in the top four finishing position. So...
I hope that 3 weeks off is enough for them to have enough rest and to actually be ready.
But the problem with your players is that they're not really getting 3 weeks off, are they? Because most of them are going to go away on international duty. Mm. So most of them are going to play a couple of games over the international break with their countries. And then you're coming back in to play the FA Cup before you play in game week 32.
Yeah.
So actually, some of your players could have three games in 3 weeks before we get to game week 32.
True enough. Yeah, true
like
enough.
Dom Szoboszlai, Virgil van Dijk, they're going to play three games before they play game week 32. Mm. And this is why, actually, we said there's no point in setting up our bus teams yet, because we just, so much can change in three games. But Dom right now is a hold. Virgil, I'm really on the fence about. I mean, I know he picked up the DEFCONs in this one, but, and I know he has aerial threat from set pieces and all of that stuff, and that's all great. But the Liverpool lack of clean sheets is problematic, because if you're paying that much money for a defender, I want some clean sheets, and we're just 100%. Not getting them.
The first goal was disgusting.
Yeah.
The first Brighton goal was disgusting. And I'm being so anti-Liverpool, and I apologise to, I know Helen's in our Slack community, there'll be a load of Brighton fans watching this. I'll give Brighton their dues, right? They were good. Brighton were good. And as I've said a number of times now, you can't go to the Amex and expect to just an easy game. It's not an easy game. It's difficult, right? They played very, very well. And Welbeck took his goals well. But the first one comes because Mamardashvili can't kick it sideways 6 yards to Konate. Sort of bounces over his foot and goes out for a throw-in. Now, fair play to Brighton. They pick up the throw, quick throw-in, bang, bang, goal.
Mm.
Before you know it, it's done. But it's like, guys, come on. It's like simple mistakes. It's so bad. But, yeah, I genuinely, at this moment in time, I don't know whether I go for Virgil in game week 32. At the moment, I'm thinking no, but I'm wondering whether I'm just because it's raging because of yesterday.
I think this is why it's important to let what's happened in game week 31 simmer for a little bit.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent with the League Cup final as well. Just let it simmer. Let the international break and the FA Cup play out.
Mm.
Because if Liverpool do progress in the FA Cup and they are going to have a double game week, then I think you'll want to be investing in Liverpool and you'll be looking for a route. And Virgil would be the obvious route in at defence anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard Isak's going to be back for the PSG games as well. So that might give us something to think about in FPL. Who knows? Who knows? But at the minute, I'm not looking at anybody. Outside, I think you're right about Dom. I mean, Dom continues to be just sensational for us, right? He was good again in this game. If I were him, I'd be looking at what the dross around him and wondering what the bloody hell's going on. But
he sort of said a weird comment, though, didn't he, after the game? And it kind of come across as a bit...
Ooh. Well, he's trying to negotiate a new... I think he's got, what, 18 months left on his contract? Mm. Got to tie him down.
Yeah.
Got to tie him down. If we don't get Champions League football for next season, would you blame him?
That's what he said, didn't he?
Would you blame him?
He said we'll have to be... I think it was actually after Spurs he said it. We'll have to be content with playing Conference League.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh.
Yeah. Gosh. He's not a Conference League player, let me tell you. Let me tell you, he's quality. He's quality. Much else to discuss, Sam. Well, we've done most of the games, haven't we? Leeds 0, Brentford 0?
Leeds bottom for XG this week.
All right.
Sorry, Brentford bottom for XG this week. Coyote was the pick.
Kelleher, I think, a couple of bonus points.
Kelleher,
a
couple of bonus if you had him.
Yeah, well done.
I think that's the thing that stands out for me is that when you look at the top of the bonus point system for most of this game. And
Thiago did DEFCON in this game.
Thiago did get DEFCON.
Thiago DEFCON.
But that tells you everything you need to know about how Brentford played in this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No Dango, benched.
And I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah, not the week for Dango owners to get the bench out of him. You want him playing in game week in blank game week 31, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, not much else to say about that. Sorry, George. Unless for all your Brentford news, George will enlighten you in the chat.
I don't think that George will have much to say, to be honest.
No, probably. No, well, actually, he says, no Damsgaard costs us in terms of creativity, mate. I agree. That's it, isn't it, really? That's it. Yeah, Newcastle 1, Sunderland 2.
Didn't watch this one, so no. You might have to chip in if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, it was a good old battle, but it was a classic, you know. I think because the Premier League put it on at 12 o'clock, because of largely the League Cup final and maybe some drinking slash policing issues with the Tyne-Wear derby being on at sort of 4 or 5 o'clock, it kind of had a little bit of a 12 o'clock feel about it, right? Gordon's goal is well taken, but it comes as a result of it's a clangor at the back by the goalkeeper. Not Roofs, was it?
No.
The other lad.
Ifield, Elfield.
Is it? Yeah. So clangor from him. 09 got it all wrong, and then Gordon gets the goal. He just pounces on it because well taken goal. What I will say, the one player that stood out for me in this game, I'll give him a bit of praise, was Brian Brobbey. I thought he was fantastic in this game.
Yeah, he was good earlier on in the season as well, wasn't he, when he was fit?
Well, even in the first couple of minutes, he had like a one-on-one where he was backing into Dan Byrne in the area, and you could see he was being really, really physical with Dan Byrne. Right? You've got to be physical with Dan Byrne. Yeah. And he's pulling on Dan Byrne's shirt and he sort of tries to spin him and he goes down and he's like, "Pen must be a pen, ref." I mean, obviously it's not a penalty. Mm. He's pulling Dan Byrne's shirt. But just in that moment, you could see, like, that's him signalling to Dan Byrne.
He's up for it.
You're not having a day off here.
No.
I will be a pain in your ass today.
Yeah.
And he was. Brobbey was great. He was great. And for him to come up with the winner,
right? Yeah.
Sensational stuff. I don't know if you noticed, but I think Gordon owners will be loving the fact that Brobbey got booked in the celebration, because Gordon was on for 2 bonus points and Brobbey was on for the 3, took his shirt off celebrating, -1 point, and then less BPS, which boosted Gordon up to 3.
Annoying.
Sensational stuff. Sensational. Yeah, Melke Elborg was the name of the Sunderland goalkeeper, the keeper that messed that first one up. But listen, Sunderland, well worth the victory. Well worth the victory in this game. All right, Sam, before we get to our games, you've got a couple of words you want to say about our stream sponsors for tonight. We've got a new stream sponsor here on FPL Family, our friends at Footium. Give us a bit of insight into Footium then. Go on, tell us what that's all about.
So far tonight, Lee, we have basically suggested that 3 or more managers might be sacked over this international break.
Basically.
We're basically saying they're all a bit crap and they're not good enough.
Tudor out, Slot out.
Rossinho out.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Anyone else want to be sacked? Maybe Arteta out. He didn't win a trophy.
No.
I think he'll be all right.
He'll be fine.
But the point is that we sit here every Sunday night and we say, well, you could do a better job than them. I could do a better job. I said for weeks and weeks, I've said I'm going to put my CV into Spurs and I'm going to try and do a better job. Well, Footium is the game to test this theory.
Yeah. So put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly that. So Footium is all about bragging rights. It's all about managing your own club and owning them. So it's a completely free-to-play game. You do not have to pay any money and you can play 2 seasons absolutely free. This is the perfect moment to come and try it with us because we are in the international break. So it is played over a 3-week period. It starts on Tuesday this new season. It's season 17. So when you head over to Footium, and we'll pop a link in the description below, follow that.
I thought season 17, I thought this was like I'd heard of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But then when you said it's season 17, I was like, there are millions of people that play this game.
Yeah, yeah.
This is properly popular game. I've been living under a rock.
Think like Champ Man, Football Manager, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you log in. When you go across, actually, if you follow our link, it won't take you to this screen, but it will take you to a page where you can select your team. So you go into a page, you pick a team, you get 3 or 4 clubs that you can sign.
Do I need to go to the second one?
Yeah, go for it.
Go on then.
You get 3 or 4 teams that you can sign. You decide which club you want to manage. And then you go in and you'll see a screen like this and you'll see an empty team and you have to basically pick your players. Now, I had some slight issues with my team because I don't appear to have many left-sided players. That's slightly problematic. But nonetheless, I've set them up. It gives you some indications as to how good you think they're going to be. They're rated a bit like with their FIFA cards, that sort of thing.
But it tells you their chemistry. That's the bit I like.
The chemistry. Yeah, we didn't have any of that at Spurs today. But my team's got some chemistry.
When I put my first Footium team together, we had low chemistry.
Oh, dear.
low chemistry. And there was a couple of players I took out, put a couple of others in, and I went straight up into like very good chemistry. Oh. I was like, those are the leaders. There's your James Milners.
And it's the same if you pick the captain's armband on the right person, maybe not just the best person in your team. So your team is set like that, but you have other ways to gain more players. So if you click on side three, there's two really good options for doing this. One is to go to the auctions. You can buy players. Again, that requires you to pay a little bit and upgrade your membership. You don't have to do that. The other thing that you can do is you can get players out of your academy. There's my academy bunch. They're all my kids. They're ready to be promoted to the first team.
Love it.
To be honest, I might get rid of some of my senior players because they don't look very good, and I'll get these guys in instead. But this is a great opportunity to kind of have a play with it. It's played in daily matches, so you can spend as little as 5 minutes doing this. It does not have to be like FPL and take up 20 hours of your whole day. You can literally log into Footy and spend 5 minutes sorting your team out, putting them in the right places, and move on. You can stick your players through training. My goalkeepers have been in training this week. I don't think they're very good either. So they've been in hard levels of training. In fact, I'm basically the opposite of slot. I don't believe in sleep. You get out there and you train until you're better.
It's a proper champ. If you liked a bit of Champ Man, if you liked a bit of Football Manager, give this a go. This is properly up your street, I reckon.
And what's great about it is for two seasons, you can play this entirely for free. Yeah. So we have our own FPL Family League. There are a number of you in there already. I know a load of the guys in the Slack. So when you follow our link, which is in the description, it'll take you through to pick your team, and then you'll be able to see our league. Obviously, you'll compete in your league, but within that, you'll also then be able to compete in this league. If you win our league, you'll win a starter bundle, which is basically worth about $80. And it allows you to buy and have everything. All of the premium stuff that's in the game, you'll get for free for the following season, which will be season 18, which we played out in April. So come and have a go with us.
Have a look.
Over the international break. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. A load of the Slackers are playing it. So if you're in the Slack, I'll set up a Slack chat specifically for Footium.
Don't have to be in the Slack though. Link in the description below.
Absolutely not. So if you're in the Slack, come and join the Footium chat and we'll talk about it together and we'll see if actually I am better than Slot and all of these other people that I keep claiming to be. But if you're not, just follow the link in the description below. We'll be play along with us and see how we get on. Should
nice.
Be good fun.
All right, there it is. Footium. Thank you, Footium, for sponsoring the FPL Family Stream. Give it a go. Give it, 3 weeks. What else are you going to do for 3 weeks?
Absolutely nothing. Watch England.
Just said you put FPL down for at least a week. Just step away from the FPL and give Footium a go.
Just 5 minutes every day. Perfect.
All right, Sam, let's get on with our scores then for this week. I'll go first, and I will go first. 55. 55, which, as I said at the top of the pod, small red, but a lot. It could have been better. Definitely could have been better. Could have played Tarkowski for a start. James Hill could have not let it hit him on the side of the head. That would have been nice. Chow could have started rather than getting a random bench in. and also could maybe have scored, but didn't. Enzo Fernandez could have had one that the keeper didn't make a miraculous worldy save off of. I don't know if you've seen that. Ekitike could have stayed on for longer than 7 minutes. But listen, in a week where I've had a lot of bad luck. Small violin.
Tiny violin.
A lot has not gone my way, right? A lot has not gone my way. So, with that in mind, I will take the small red. I'll take the 138K where I'm at and be ready for chip season. Get ready for chip season. I'm ready to attack the next few weeks and see how it goes. So that's where I am. That's where I am. 1,868 points for the sake of the podcasters. For Bruggen, 3. Chow, 0. Virgil, 3. Hill, -1. Fernandez, 26. Rogers, 6. Wilson, 9. Enzo, 2. Ekitike, 1. Jarpedra, 2. Thiago, 4. And the bench was Dubravka, Tarkowski, Semenyo and Gabriel. So yes, that's a rank change of -9.3. I've got 4.8 million in the bank. Kind of insane. And given that when I look at the players in my team right now, and I don't want Ekitike, and I don't really want Enzo Fernandez, and I don't really want Virgil, I probably could have more than that. I think a wild card
come
like
back after the break and you'll
bin.
Be like, I've got 12 million in the bank.
So much money in the bank on this wild card. It's insane. So 4.8 million in the bank. Only one free transfer, right? I do have a bit of regret there, obviously, because what I could have just done was played Tarkowski, risked that he was going to be fit and available, and not done the Chow transfer. And then I would have had not just 6 more points in my team, but 1 more transfer as well. But it is what it is. So, yeah, not a lot of transfers in the bank, but potentially a wild card in 32. But doing, like I said before, doing nothing for a bit with FPL. Just going to let this ride for a bit and play footy in, probably. Let's talk about your game week score, Sam. 52 this week. So, small green. Small green, that's good. Well, very small, actually. 1.2%. Talk us through it.
We will take the small. I don't care how big they are. A green is a green this week, especially because, actually, as you'll see from my team and podcasts, I'll read them in a minute, there weren't many points in it this week. So Dubravka with the two in goal, didn't have any choice but to play him regardless. And I did think that that was going to be a nice six-pointer at one point during the course of this game. Virgil with three. Van de Ven went off at half-time, got the one. Senesi, I feel quite lucky to have got one out of, given that James Hillown has got minus one. Yeah. So maybe a bit of fortune
there. No DEFCON for those boys this week. That's unusual.
No, but they didn't do as much defending. And in fact, Senesi was a long way off. I think by the time he got to the end of the first half, he'd only got three. Okay. And I was like, okay. Bruno Fernandes in as captain with 26, which has actually saved the game week, to be fair.
You had him as vice. Oh, you've done your graphic. Oh, you had him as captain.
I haven't changed the thingy.
He was
my
captain.
Yep. I had him captain and Richarlison as vice. Sorry, I forgot to change that on there.
Fine.
Bruno with 26. Tav with two. I feel really annoyed about the Tav penalty thing, because
if he takes that pen, then it's just, that's at 8-9 points as much.
But do you know what's really annoying about it is that he was the one route I had to Harry Wilson, and I decided I didn't want to sell a penalty taker.
Well, yeah, makes sense.
So I kept him.
Makes sense.
And now I'm annoyed, because now if he's not the penalty taker and Kroupi is, I've sold the penalty taker anyway. There we are. So Tav with two, Szoboszlai with three, Rodgers. Oh my God.
Rodgers.
Oh my God. Praise be to God. Rodgers has got a point.
Rodgers did some points, Sam.
Jesus Christ. We were in the Spurs stand.
Go on, Rodgers.
The guy who sits a few seats behind me, we've become quite good friends. He he goes, oh my God, Villa have scored. We all cheered really loudly. And then obviously he went a bit, I then put alerts on the Villa game on my phone, and I went, guys, Villa have scored again. And they were like, yes, biggest cheer of the day. And then when I realised that Morgan Rodgers was part of it, I thought, praise be to goodness. Thank you, Morgan Rodgers. You
such
turned
a crap
up
assist
in the week.
As well, have you seen
I
it?
Couldn't care less. I don't care. It's a fantasy assist. He's just had a shot and then Ollie Watkins has put it in afterwards. Yeah. I don't care. I could not care less. The fact that Morgan Rodgers got me 6 points, Morgan, do I forgive you for the last few weeks?
No.
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 I don't. You've still been utter guff.
Would you have him in the game week 32
wild
card?
Yeah, he's going to stay in there for me, because I ain't got a wild card and he plays in 34.
Probably going to stay
for
you.
The idiot's got to stay.
Not an idiot. It's a bit harsh. It's
like, no, I mean, I don't really.
Not an idiot.
All right, he's not an idiot. Got 6 points
this
week anyway.
Come on.
Then the front three. What? Joao Pedro 2, Richarlison 2, Thiago 4 because he's picked up DEFCON.
The only return from your three forwards is DEFCON for Thiago. What the hell are we living in here?
What is this world? And then the bench, well, that was really exciting this week. Rusi didn't play, got 0. Gabriel Semenyo and Gehi, 0-0-0. 52, a very small green arrow. We survived the bullets. We moved on. We go into 32 now. I have 7 million pounds in my bank.
Just noticed that. 7 mil. You want some interest on that, don't you?
I'm planning to use some of it to pay off our mortgage.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to spend it on players, so I just pull some of it out. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then I've got 3 free transfers. So
wow, okay.
Do I wish I hadn't sold Kroupi Jr. for Joao Pedro? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I do, because then I'd be 3 points better off and I'd have an extra transfer. But as it is, we'll take the green, we move, and I'm not going to think about FPL now for 3 weeks.
That's
and in that
actually
time,
wild, isn't it? Your three forwards, and between them, the only return they got was freaking DEFCON, like from Thiago.
It's
and that's not me. That's not me negging on Thiago's DEFCON. Trust me, I'm happy to have it as well. But Joao Pedro, Richarlison, Thiago, no goals, no assists.
Yep.
Just a DEFCON from
just
Thiago.
Just a DEFCON.
Mad, isn't it?
Stupid.
Mad.
Anyway. So all
still more than I had, because
you had Ekitike.
I had Ekitike.
So yeah, it's. I mean, I was expecting nothing out of the back line, but the front line did just as bad. So there we are.
Wow. What a week.
However, it's green and we move.
Mm.
And look, I think actually, for my mental health, being able to put down Spurs for a little bit, and in turn put down FPL and focus on my Footium team, will be everything that I need over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And hopefully, some nice performances from England. And I will say, I am quite looking forward to the World Cup qualifiers, because those teams that are trying to get through to the World Cup, those games are always quite exciting, aren't they? The last teams to make it. So, yeah.
100%.
3 weeks off. And then, well, we'll come back just after the FA Cup to preview game week 32.
Yeah. And who knows what managerial chaos lies in front of us.
Will your manager still be there?
I think Slot will still be there.
Well, mine won't.
I don't think yours will.
No. But who the hell are we going to get? Because now we need someone who can manage for 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Seven games.
Well, the other thing to say about the Spurs situation is that, and obviously we feel for him, right? Because he's gone through a family bereavement and he's had to...
Yes.
He couldn't do his post-match today. He had to leave it to his second in command because he had to rush off for a family bereavement. Now, feel for the guy, obviously. Feel for the guy. Any family bereavement's awful, of course. Like, how does Spurs manage that situation now, right? Because you can't, like, do a press release tomorrow morning while he's had to run off to deal with a family bereavement. You're sacked, mate. It's like, feels ridiculously insensitive. I don't know how you handle that from a PR perspective. It's very difficult.
But I'm also not being funny, and I mean this with the greatest respect to the situation that he's in. Family bereavements are horrendous and it's really difficult. But the situation at Spurs right now is really difficult. And we have a 3-week period in which to get a new manager and work out what the hell we do to save this. And we cannot afford to pussyfoot around with it and to...
But you take my point. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Optically, it's difficult.
But you let the PI, you let the PR system that in the club deal with how that is managed.
Tough one.
Maybe it's dealt with internally and it's not publicly put out there for a week.
Maybe.
I don't know. But all I know is dramatic change is needed again. I feel like we've wasted 5 weeks with this guy. And now we're 5 weeks further down the line. We're one position further down in the league. We're only still where we are because West Ham play Wolves next and we play Sunderland. By the end of game week 32,
is that what the next fixtures are?
Yeah. Jesus. By the end of 32, we could easily be in the relegation zone. And then we have Brighton come to visit us. And I
think they play before you as well, don't they, West Ham? I remember looking at the fixture for 32. I think West Ham have got Wolves before you have to go away to Sunderland.
It's awful. So fix it.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, if I ever meet those fans that stood outside and chanted for Levy to leave, it's on you, partly this. Because I said for years, it's not Levy, it's what is going on around him. And everyone laughed and said, no, it's Levy. It's fucking not Levy. And this is clear now. And there you are.
All right. Well, there we go. Maybe drop the mic at that moment. All right. Well, there we go. Who knows what managerial chaos lies in wait for us over the next few weeks. But I think our overriding and overwhelming advice here at FPL Family is probably just step back from the FPL for a bit. Just take a little break.
Pick up Footium.
Have a look at Footium. Touch some grass. See your kids. Just spend a little bit of time with the family for a week and a bit.
Eat some Easter eggs.
Enjoy the England stuff if you can.
England will be quite good.
And then there'll be some FA Cup stuff. And what happens in those FA Cup stuffs will decide how the rest of the season goes. Won't it?
Yeah.
That's basically it, isn't it?
And then we'll be back with some guff and waffle after that.
Those FA Cup results will decide how the rest of this season plays out. And that's it. And we don't know that for another couple of weeks. So... touch some grass, turn the PS5 on, all that stuff.
Oh, God, not more Fortnite.
Doubt if there's any Fortnite. Max has gone properly off the Fortnite. He's playing this Rocket League now. He's in this Rocket League. I don't know much about this Rocket League. He likes it, doesn't he?
He plays it with his mates.
Any of you play Rocket League out there?
You and George can play Fortnite.
I've tried
together.
Rocket League. I'm rubbish at it, but it's bloody, like, it's a difficult game. Like, it's not easy.
It's football in cars.
Yeah, it's, like, really hard. Rocket League is a really hard game. Anyway, we're guffing and
Max
waffling.
Max is good at it.
He is actually quite good at it. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. There we go. That is it for tonight. Good luck. Good luck for what? I don't know. 3 weeks of rest. I usually say good luck to anyone that's got a game on Monday night, but there are no Monday night games.
Go and sleep.
Good luck for the
Slot
break.
Style.
Have an interesting break. Like, subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. Normally, we would now miss a couple of weeks of not having live streams.
Well, we still will.
We won't be back next week, but we'll be back the week after because...
No,
as
the
we
week
say,
after.
Really? So not Sunday or Sunday, that the following Sunday. Mm. No, I don't know.
No, maybe not.
The weekend of the FA Cup games.
When the FA Cup...
We'll be here.
I think you're right, actually. It's not next week, it's the one after.
The weekend of the FA Cup games, we will be here because they do have a massive impact on the rest of the season. And of course, we're going to want to know what we're doing with wildcards, what we're doing with chips, all that sort of good stuff. Yeah, who's we'll playing the doubles, who's got the blanks, all that sort of stuff. So
Spurs
like, subscribe,
can't have upset me by then either.
Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, everyone.